You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and Sarah Castor-Perry.
Now, still to come, with Valentine's Day just around the corner, which is more environmentally friendly, an e-Valentine's Day card sent by computer or the traditional paper and card one? Or bearing in mind what my colleague Yolanda said to me the other day when I told her we were answering this question, you've got to take into account the hot air that will inevitably be generated by the unhappy recipient as well. Sarah.
But first of all, as the internet and our reliance on computers grows, so does the amount of energy that this industry consumes, which means significant CO2 emissions. But is there a way to make the process more environmentally friendly? Computer scientist Professor Andy Hopper from Cambridge University has been working on a way to turn waste energy into useful computer processing around the planet. Hello, Andy.
Hello there.
To put some numbers on the problem first, how much energy are we looking at and how much CO2 does running the internet consume?
Well, about 3, 4, 5, 6% of energy use, of the global energy use, goes into computing one way or another. So it's not a huge number at the moment, but it's going up fairly quickly.
And what sort of volume of CO2 is that? I mean, compared to other industries, what does that compare?
Well, aviation industry would be probably 2 or 3 times that. So we're catching up on it. Maybe in due course it'll be comparable.
And so what's the solution that you've been working on to help counteract this?
Well, what we're trying to understand is whether the notion of taking computing to energy sources and using energy which would otherwise be lost because it cannot be transported to the place where it can be used. So the notion is transmit bits around the planet rather than energy around the planet and see if you can be a kind of a sponge for either surplus energy or perhaps more importantly, energy that cannot be got to houses or to trains or to situations where it can be used in a more obvious fashion.
So this means running processes in an area of the world where it's not being used locally, so it's night time and there's not a whole lot going on, and you can then use that sort of downtime for an area where it's during the day and you've got a lot of traffic going on.
That's right. So it's either the windmill has speeded up somewhere or it's night time and there isn't much local use for whatever reason. And what we're trying to find out is to what extent is this possible? What is actually the energy cost of shipping the data and the problems to these potentially remote places? Because it must be a win rather than a lose. But fiber optic communication is a marvelous technology because essentially the further you go, the more energy you don't really use. So you can go much, much further without paying an energy price. It's almost like magic. And then seeing at what level of granularity, what sort of problems, what sort of tasks can be done in this way and soak up this surplus energy so that perhaps in due course when 10 or 15 or 20% of the world's energy is going on computing, we can say, of that, maybe 3 or 4% is energy that would otherwise be lost.
And so what sort of tasks are you looking at that will be suitable? Because I'm guessing ones where you want an instantaneous reaction, so e-commerce and things like that, they aren't necessarily so suitable as things where you don't necessarily need that instant feedback.
That's right. So anything that requires instant response, that is interactive, is less suitable to this sort of approach. But nevertheless, you can go a reasonable way. It's constrained by the speed of light. So it's not that it has to be just around the corner. It might be at the other end of your country, up in Shetlands or whatever. But nevertheless, we're trying to divide up the tasks into those that are interactive, require an immediate solution to perhaps others, which are cataloging tasks, recognition tasks, which can be done more slowly and therefore are amenable to this sort of treatment.
How realistic is this? I mean, you mentioned the sort of advent of fiber optics. Are our current networks able to deal with this? Are they fast enough at the moment?
Well, to some extent, it is already done that you place server farms close to cheap energy sources and ship data there and get the answers back. But, you know, it is appropriate to be slightly fanciful, not completely unrealistic, but slightly fanciful in one scenario. And so I'm looking maybe 10, 15 years out where the networking around the world is perhaps somewhat different. There is much more fiber communications. We have server farms in perhaps what today seem unusual places in the middle of the oceans where it's very windy, from which you most definitely couldn't get the energy back to heat your house, but you might be able to do the computing jobs. Now, you have to be very careful about this. You mustn't cheat, so you have to take into account the energy cost of getting the computing there, so to speak, building that plant, including the embedded energy costs in the manufacturing of it, maintaining it, and then recycling it or shutting it down in an appropriate way at the end of its useful life. So you have to take the whole picture. But nevertheless, with that in mind, and the notion of distance doesn't matter so much with fiber optics, I think the world may be a different place. And one other comment that follows on from Mike's contribution earlier, I think it's energy proportional computing and communications that is very, very important going forward, that rather than over-provisioning, over-engineering, over-dimensioning, which has traditionally been the case and is now being is less important in mobile communications, this spreads to everything. And every computer on the planet is either doing useful work or is shut down or at least in very deep sleep mode. Now, one way of helping understand this is looking at this chasing the energy, because if you move a job somewhere else, then the one that was originally destined for that job can be switched off.
And so what is the scale of the saving in energy that we're looking at?
Well, to be quite honest, I don't know. That's the challenge we have, because to be realistic about this, we have to postulate some kind of model of how the networks will work, take current jobs, divide them up, and so on. But initial results suggest that it's not going to be just 1 or 2%, that there is a reasonably good opportunity here for improving the way computing works. And so ask me back in about 5 years' time, and I might hesitate to give you an answer.
And I suppose even though it may be a certain amount of percentage now, with time moving on, it'll become more important as we become more reliant on the internet. But will we expect to see this sort of thing being implemented anytime soon?
Well, the beginnings of it are happening now. But let me just point out another kind of win-win. Not only using energy that would otherwise be lost, but also in many cases using that energy to compute things about the real world, which save even more energy. Optimizing the physical world by using energy in the digital world, and that energy itself being, so to speak, free lunch energy. Now, that would be a wonderful scenario, but as I say, I am paid to be slightly fanciful, and there it is.
Well, thanks, Andy. We'll have to leave it there. That's Professor Andy Hopper, Head of Computer Lab at Cambridge University.